Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
They love me. Yeah. Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints talk. With me to my right, Heath Elsonson. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. Across. Wesley Coleman. So from Rustin and Monroe, Farmerville to Jonesboro, sit back, relax, because we're going to do for the next hour, 97.7 BS and Beer style. Fellas, the Saints come off of a really disappointing loss against the 49ers last week, and they just absolutely took it out and broke it off.
I think they spit that taste out.
Right there. So now here's the thing. Are the Saints as good as we saw? I mean – I don't know where to go with this, because when they have these good, exciting wins, where do we go? But the one thing that I've been hearing a lot, and it makes a little sense, and it ties into something we talked about earlier in the season, are the Saints peaking at the right time? Now, we have some injuries to deal with and whatnot, but having said that, the Saints now against a very good 49ers team and a solid Indianapolis Colts team have just displayed offensive prowess that we haven't seen in since last year. Generally speaking, last year, maybe the first half of the season. So the question is, are we peaking at the right time? And here's the little part that we talked about a little bit during the game yesterday, Heath. We talked about on the show, maybe kind of tongue-in-cheek, that if Drew Brees, maybe as you get older, your body, you can still do it, but you wear down quicker. If he got a little rest.
Yeah.
Well, he did get a little rest. 5 weeks.
Not the way we expected, but we talked about this in the offseason. I actually brought up the idea about, what happens, maybe.
Well, don't throw your shoulder out.
I remember, I think I got some crazy looks when I said it. People and I was like, what if, when they get up big in a game.
Take him out.
He's already passed the total yard record and all that stuff and all, go ahead and pull him out. Let the backup mop up for the last quarter or quarter and a half or something like that if they get up big. That was what I was thinking at the time. Maybe even, don't play hardly at all, if at all, during the preseason.
Right.
Let him put him on the Roger Clemens plan. Let him come in and play, the second half or whatever.
Well, whether or not, the rest and all, what we can say is since Drew Brees has returned in week 8 from his thumb injury, which should make him maybe have trouble throwing the ball, he's completed 76.5% of his passes. He's thrown for 2,039 yards. He's thrown 19 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. He has a quarterback passer rating of 119.1. He's about to be 41 in a month. Yeah. He's having one of the best 7-game stretches of his career. And he's the oldest he's ever been. It's kind of crazy.
Because, by the way, he set the single season completion percentage record in the middle of all of this.
Right.
Single game.
Tomas, so should we set up a plan going forward where Drew Brees just maybe comes in for the first couple of games and then sits down for about 5 or 6 games in the middle of the season? He could play till he's about 50.
Well, I'm sure that there are some people who would say, sure, not me, but – I think that it's just fortuitous that we had a backup quarterback who could manage the game and could play the game so that we were able to win 5 consecutive games with our second string quarterback. Now, certainly we know that he's looking to be a first string quarterback on another team, and certainly I don't see why he couldn't be. But I think that it was good for Drew to sit back. The entire time he's engaged mentally. I don't know if you all saw that video that Reggie Bush posted. But, he stays after practice. He goes through his routines. He visualizes everything. I mean, this guy's a pro to the nth degree. It's the reason why he's the GOAT. So, you know, I do think that if the game does get out of hand, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't give either Bridgewater or Taysom the ball. Personally, if we really care about Teddy Bridgewater, if he's going to have an opportunity, I probably wouldn't play Teddy because I don't want him to get hurt. You know, I would probably play Taysom if I'm going to play a backup quarterback. Just simply from the...
Yeah, at this point, Teddy's got to be rethinking the decision to stick around. He's, you know, I stuck around to maybe be the heir apparent, and this guy appears to be getting better.
I don't see Breeze...
He's going to be here forever.
Even if we win the Super Bowl, with the numbers he's posting up right now that Wesley just went through, and knowing that he's, 96.58, whatever, 29 out of 30.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a man who's lost his edge or is ready for the rocking chair.
Okay, so why are we talking about this? Because we had someone, Craig, brought up on Twitter about the sarcasm, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I believe I heard somebody say he's declining. Listen,
yeah.
I know that nobody on this show, and I don't know if he was referring to us. Just because you have a discussion, anyone who wants to say that Drew Brees, his arm, is not in decline, you're just lying to yourself. Having said that, nobody on this show said that he wasn't a good quarterback.
Right. Man, and don't you find it interesting that just for this game, for example, coming into it, they talked about that Brees was on the injury list because he hurt his elbow?
Right, the week before.
Right, okay. From the at the end of the game. But wouldn't it be interesting to find out whether or not he had an injury last year when we kept saying about, hey, you know, the ball's just not quite there, that they just said, hey,
well,
we don't have to announce it because we didn't bandage it. Because, you know, there are all these kind of rules where you can be hurt, but you don't have to say that you're hurt.
It goes to what I was saying about peaking at the right time. Because, okay, was it that Drew Brees got a little worn down because he's older? Or was it that the offensive line? The thing is, we still don't know because he could have had an injury. There are all kinds of things that could have happened, whether it's offensive line protection, because we do know that almost the entire offensive line was banged up.
Yeah.
You know, Drew Brees may have been a little bit injured. And listen, the point is I don't care how much you want to support Drew Brees. I support him too. When you get older, you lose a little bit off the fastball. But what he has proven is – I always go back to that major league scene where the old pitcher says, you know, whenever you lose a little off your fastball and he has, you know, some Vaseline on his elbow and he has some jalapeno here. And if you need to, you get a little snot off your nose. Drew Brees still gets the ball to an open receiver.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we don't throw the ball vertically.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. Both things are true. Drew Brees' arm strength for the long ball is in decline. It's inevitable. But at the same time, his short game is not in decline. If you want to you want to look at a stat that tells you the 683 passes or whatever Michael Thomas has caught this year already, he averages 11 yards. Okay? That's where Drew Brees is effective.
Right.
Zero to 15, 20 yards or whatever is where he makes his money.
Well, and he still puts zip on the ball because he's throwing some passes.
He's got zip on the ball. Talking about trying to launch the 50, 60-yard pass down the sideline.
And here's the other thing. Right. I've also seen as long as he doesn't have anybody in his feet, he can still throw the ball 50 yards.
Yeah,
it's just a matter he doesn't have that Aaron Rodgers, but he never has.
No.
The Aaron Rodgers where you kind of run into your side, back foot, throw it, and just zip it. He never really has been that guy. So if you give him a clean pocket and let him step into the throw, he can still get the ball downfield. So that's not the point either.
And he still has agility because in one play, you saw the guy was coming in clean and he just gave him a little sidestep.
There were a couple of times.
You know?
Two of those.
Yeah, and so the point is we're talking about, jokingly, those 5 weeks off, he looks young out on the field. Now, is it the offensive line? Is it the bad competition? Drew Brees looks like he's rested.
Yeah, what he looks like is actually a couple of those escape routes he did from the pocket looked like maybe he was watching some Joe Burrow highlights over the weekend. honestly, he surprised me with some of that. And the thing is, with what we have with Drew Brees is – the mental game, he's not going to lose. He's just not a guy that's going to ever lose that mental game. And if you had somebody come in and need to run a Trent Dilfer offense that could run the ball and just not throw interceptions, I could take him for 5 more years probably.
Yeah.
Listen, when we come back, we got so much to talk about. We got a new Janoris Jenkins on our team. How's he going to fit in? 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. We will be right back.
BS and Beer Podcast. the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. Listen, talking wall-to-wall Saints, next segment, just teasing a little bit. We're going to kind of break down the NFC playoff picture. The Saints right now, the number three seed. The Seattle Seahawks are number one. 49ers, get this, because of tiebreakers, they're the fifth seed, which means that they would be going to the 7-7 Dallas Cowboys. So the way things are right now, there are four teams that are 11-3. So there are a lot of scenarios, but there are a handful, and I broke it down to three scenarios where the Saints could get a first-round bye and even get the first seed. So we'll talk about that. But before we get into the good, the bad, the ugly, let's talk a little bit about this acquisition, Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah.
The Saints put in a waiver claim, which, quite frankly, man, as much as I'm around football, I thought that once you were in the league X amount of years, you just get cut. There's no waiver process. Although I think about it, it kind of makes it fair. If you cut good players at the end of the season, then the playoff teams just start snatching them up.
Yeah.
But Janoris Jenkins, look, I know who the guy is. I've seen him play. I know he's a good cornerback. He was the opposite side. He was the number one to Eli Apple.
Right.
He's better than Eli Apple.
Right.
Which brings up a whole nother question. I'm going to start with you, Heath, is does Eli Apple – listen, when we traded last year for Eli Apple, yeah, he became the starter immediately.
Right.
There was no let's let him get used to the defense, let's acclimation period. He was a starter.
Right.
Do the Saints do the same thing? Randy Moss said he was a shutdown corner, said the Saints now have two shutdown corners. If he is a shutdown corner –
yeah.
Talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think so. You know, I think he's going to come in and basically be the starter right away. I think that's why the Saints went out and got him. I mean, I think he's, you know, Apple. Look, quite frankly, the Saints realize that Apple hasn't played very well lately. It's obvious to everybody.
Right.
And so they bring this guy in. He's going to come out here and practice this week. And if he looks good, yeah, don't be shocked to see him lined up as a starter.
Wesley, can the Saints – what does that do to the locker room? First of all, let's think about this relationship. We have three Ohio State players in our secondary.
Yeah.
Apparently, Eli Apple and Lattimore are pretty good friends. Does this rock the boat?
Well, really,
does
it cause? Four, because you get Von Bell too.
Well, wait a minute, Janoris. I'm talking about Lattimore, Apple, and Bell are the three.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So Janoris Jenkins comes in. You move Bell to the Apple to the bench. How does that play on the team?
I think it's a unique scenario in the fact that Apple and Jenkins did play together multiple years, and there was no competition of who was the best corner on the team. It was known Jenkins was their number one corner and Apple was their number two. And multiple teams last year, when the Apple was available, teams called and were asking about Jenkins, and they said, no, Jenkins isn't available, Apple is. So I don't know if Apple – back then, Apple wasn't throwing a fit, and – Apple's mom wasn't throwing a fit that yeah. Eli Apple was not the number one corner. And it just so happens to be a guy that he knows was the number one corner ahead of him before. And I have to think, I mean, I've seen the look on Eli Apple's face. I mean, he looked pretty defeated against the 49ers. Like he knew he wasn't playing well. And I mean, he's not going to be here next year unless we didn't pick up his option, at least unless we re-sign him. This is the writing on the wall. We're here to win a Super Bowl. If Jenkins is the better corner, I can't imagine anybody having a problem with him playing.
Tomas Jenkins, everything that I've heard, shut down corner. How does this play out?
Well, there are a couple of scenarios that can happen. Certainly, I believe that cornerback is a position that's really more about your psychological makeup or evenly between psychological makeup
and
physical.
We were talking about that
makeup
yesterday, how important it is to forget.
Because that's the problem that I see with you know, we had this with my boy Crawley. You know, when Crawley was here, he had that one great year, right? We thought pretty good year, let's say.
Yeah, it was
great.
Solid. It was solid.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was all because in his head he was like, I can do this now. I've got this. I understand now how I'm supposed to play. And you could see that that confidence on every play. Similarly, he fell all apart for the same reason. When suddenly he was like, oh, man, I don't know. I'm in my right place. I'm right. Second guessing himself. So he ends up going away. Okay, we got Apple. Apple came in. And at first, if you recall, when he first came in, he wasn't all that great. It's just that people were fed up with Crawley.
Yeah.
But slowly, he seemed to get a little bit better. Right. People were like, okay, he's now picking up the defense. And so on. But it's also because he got confidence.
Right.
And you know what? I got Lattimore over there. Now, I don't have to worry. I got him over there. And you know, so I think that was part. He came in. Now, he's doing all the same things that he did before that made him bad. Grabbing on to people, pushing on people when he doesn't have to push them. I mean, he's doing all the things that bad cornerbacks do.
Right. They panic.
And it's all because it's in his head. You know, he'll have perfect position, and he still doubts that he has perfect position, and that's when he makes a stupid play, and it costs us a penalty.
One of the things that Heath brought up while we were watching the game yesterday was talking about Garner Johnson. Sorry, there's so many names I get confused.
CJGJ.
Okay. Anyway, he was pointing out that when you have that kind of attitude, it was like it's that ignorant guy in the bar that you argue with, and he's completely wrong, but he believes he's right. And then he says something insanely stupid, then struts around like, I'm right. And
yeah.
Same thing with a cornerback. Can blow a play, and we laugh at him. We get irritated. You just gave up a 20-yard pass for a first down. Then you miss the tackle. Then you finally make a tackle, and they're strutting around. Look at me, and he's shaking this way, and he's shaking that way. That's the attitude of a guy who forgot that he just screwed up two plays.
Yeah.
That's how you have to
and
do
so
it.
When you think about it, and they talk about you have to have a short memory.
Short memory, yeah.
That's the guy. He don't remember and don't care that he just blew a couple of plays.
Yeah.
He just made a play, and he's going to make the next one, or he might not, but he don't care. He's going to give it his best. These guys get to the point where they have to be able to forget, and some guys aren't capable of that.
Now, Dave, the thing that may not end up being a problem here with all of this and the scenarios, I think Jenkins is the better corner, but the last game that Jenkins ever played for the Giants, he played at slot corner. So he definitely in his career has mostly been an outside corner. That is, he is a special, good, shutdown outside corner. But he has played inside. I'm not sure if I've ever seen Eli Apple play inside. So there is a possibility that he is playing as a slot corner, playing that lets Chauncey Gardner-Johnson do some more fun stuff as kind of being a hybrid linebacker and doing what he was doing last night. And then if Eli Apple's having problems, there's an easy switch out of moving Jenkins out, stuff like that.
One of the things, and it's interesting because I did some reading up on him trying to find out if he was capable of playing that slot position because, quite frankly, if you look, Eli Apple is not a bad player. But if you take him from the second best matchup, and again, not every down, but on third and eight or seven and longer, you have a better matchup option. And if one of those guys is capable of playing the slot, now you've just improved your coverage. The question is, and you kind of answered it there, if he has experience, if any of them have experience with going to the slot, that helps the team.
And just to add to, Jenkins is under contract for next year. Yeah. He will be a New Orleans Saint next year unless there's something that happens with a cut. He does have a contract through next season where Eli Apple is a free agent after this year.
Yeah. So it does give us some security. The only problem is
11.5 million.
$11.5 million. You really have to know if or consider if that's what you're willing to pay for him.
Now, I'll say one more thing about the whole situation, and that is this. Our defense was playing as a unit. When we had all the people healthy, we had a strong defensive line that freed up the linebackers. We had strong linebackers. And so what happens is that by the time you get to this, there's no time for the quarterback. So Eli Apple looked like an all-pro, all-star.
No, pass
because
rush
of all, the, yep. all yes, the front yep. seven. Now yep. suddenly you've decimated the front seven. Well, now the other team's going to come out and say, well, who's the weakest guy? Oh, Apple. Well, let's go hit. Because now we have an extra second. We don't have to throw the ball at 3 seconds. We got 4 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't care who you are. If you got to cover a guy 4 or 5 seconds, you're not going to be able to do it.
No, that's you know? A great.
So to me, that's a real telling point here is that, you know, we've lost that chemistry of 11 guys at the beginning. You know, when we ran that five-game stretch with Teddy did a great job. Don't get me wrong. But the defense won those five games.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So when that fell apart, then that's what we have now. Now we just have to go, like I said before, Drew has to have these kind of games, 29 out of 30, 400 yards, four TDs, and we can win the rest. We don't have to worry about defense.
Right. Well, right. Here's the thing that we were talking about yesterday. Now, we lose an outstanding pass rusher and a defensive cog in Davenport. And also, I don't believe that Sheldon Rankins was playing the level he was playing last year. He's a good, solid player at this point that still knows his job. And from everything I've heard, he's a guy that studies and knows tendencies. And he's like that guy, like, watch out for this, and this is coming. So he helps the defense that way. But I don't believe that he was making plays. I don't think there's going to be a huge loss in the middle outside of depth. But I am worried about the pass rush. Having said that, we kind of make up a little bit if we can match up better on the back end. You know, there's still guys who are getting after the quarterback. It's just when you get to those big boys, when you get to the 49ers who have a rock solid offensive line. Now they have some injuries, so now there's going to be some, you know, opportunity. Yeah.
They played the game. Look, it's like we've said before. All these teams coming in now here at the end of the season, this is their Super Bowl. They coming in here. Look, if we can beat the Saints, we make a mark. Okay, and so. You know, San Francisco came in. They had you got to give them their due. They had a great game plan. They knew, hey, they're weak at the linebackers. We run fullback, tight end. We're going to be able to beat this team. You know, there's no reason to lose a game when you score 46 points. There's just no reason to lose a game.
No, I agree with you. Right. Speaking of the 49ers, what a great segue to we get a little help. I went and I had sex pants. On Sunday night because I pulled for the Falcons all day. I felt kind of dirty.
Oh,
so it was some of the best of my life.
Yeah, I see.
But the Falcons come up with
no need
to go any more in depth.
Oh, okay.
No more.
I was just wondering.
Not necessary.
You know?
But the 49ers lose to the Falcons in a game that I never imagined.
No.
That they would pull off. Matter of fact, the way the game ended, where they had what I thought was a touchdown, the tight end, Atlanta's tight end, he only had the ball by like the point of the ball, and he had control of it, and it touched the ground. But he controlled it. And
yeah.
I don't know how they call that incomplete.
It was a touchdown.
But they called it incomplete. Yeah. Next play, they throw to Julio Jones in it.
2 seconds left.
Did he get stopped at the goal line? They used that 3D, and they reviewed it. Did anybody in this room think that they were going to overturn that call?
No, I did not, no.
And they did. 49ers
I was shocked.
Lose. Yeah. And what's even, to add insult to injury, then they run try to throw the ball this way and that way, and then end up giving the Falcons another touchdown. So it was a blowout. The 49ers got blown out at home by the Falcons, which really helps the Saints. And we're going to talk in the next segment about the playoff picture. But we don't really have enough time to go into the depth for our good, bad, and ugly. But let's just do who's your primetime player, Heath?
Who wants to take the low hand?
First guy. You always the first guy.
Yeah. DeMario Davis had a great game,
he
man.
He did have a great
that
game.
That dude was all over the place, and I'm really, really disappointed that he's not in the Pro Bowl. Unbelievable. Yep. Unbelievably bad.
Wesley, we're going to give you Drew Brees. Share those next-gen stats you were sharing with us earlier.
So I don't get to take Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
That's fine. Sorry.
Hey, so, I mean, obviously we know Drew Brees is 20 of 30, sets the all-time record for – completion percentage in a game, breaking Phillip Rivers' record, which is kind of cool. I mean, with how their history has gone. But Next Gen Stats broke down. Drew Brees completed the final 22 passes of the game in order to do that. And they broke down each of the passes with the completion probability of each pass, like how long he was in the pocket, how he had to move, where he was throwing the ball, how far he was throwing the ball. Well, the likelihood of him completing those 22 passes in a row was 1 in 20,832.
Wow.
Wow. That's just
special. Yeah, special. That's special. All right, Tomas.
Yeah. Mine is CJ GJ.
All right,
go ahead. That's my boy. I mean, he's been balling. I was worried about Bell being out, but you know what? If he plays like that – you know, I don't know. Bell.
He was more noticeable than even Bell, and Bell played great.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing, real quick, and I hate to bring this up, but the way he plays, And being young and already having a concussion makes me a little concerned because he's a guy that throws himself in. I mean, he goes
full out. I hear you, but, you know.
Yeah. And you start worrying, oh, my God, I hope they don't start piling up here early in his career.
Right. You do, with a young guy like that, sometimes they throw their bodies around as they become more
professional. We had that scare early with Vaccaro. Remember, he got like two or three quick.
I think
early
the position
in
has inherited that, too. Yeah. You know, safety position is.
Well, and he runs around recklessly and throws his body in there. Now, the guy's built. He's a hybrid cornerback safety. He's not tall. He has good change of direction. But, man, he's got some guns on him. He goes in there and he makes some tackles.
Yeah, and he actually led the team with 8 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and he had a pass defense in his first spot in a new game, a new position in the NFL.
On top of that, Wesley, you just point out some stats, and but he was everywhere. He was around the ball. And so sometimes the things you do don't always show up on the stat sheet.
Yeah.
But the guy, obviously, we always talk about it. You have a young guy, and you're like, well, you know, he's going to develop. I mean, he was a second-round draft pick, or he was a first-round draft pick. But some guys, they just walk in the door, and look, they make mistakes, but they offset it by making some plays.
Right.
And that's been exactly what Chauncey Garner Phillips Johnson is. Don't go anywhere.
No Phillips in there.
When we come back, we're going to talk some more Saints. We're going to talk the NFC playoff pitcher, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-san, Wesley Coleman, Tomas Mauricio.
You're here.
Talking wall-to-wall Saints football. Look, we're going to talk about the NFC playoff pitcher. Before we do, we got to talk a little bit about Taysom Hill.
Yeah,
I'm
one
in.
One of the things, listen, he has been a hero, a fan favorite, since last year. But is it just me? And I know it's not, so I'm just basically looking for you. You guys all agree with me.
Affirmation.
Affirmation. Looking for a little affirmation. He has turned into an offensive weapon. Not just a guy who goes in and plays quarterback 3 or 4 snaps a game. He is now, or, you know, it progressed. You know, he went from special teams to getting a few snaps to then he started playing a little tight end. Then there was a game where it might have been the Rams game when Breeze went out and we had some injuries at wide receiver. He had to go and actually play wide receiver. And he's played some tight end. And now I don't think he's just a gimmick guy anymore. I think he is an actual offensive weapon that you put in and you design plays for him because the way he stabbed those balls, and now that word was stuck in my head. That's exactly what you said. The way he grabbed those balls and snatched them out of the air.
Yeah.
He looks like a receiver. He runs. He looks. There was one time where he actually tried to avoid contact, and I'm like, what is going on here? When have you ever seen Taysom Hill avoid contact?
Yeah.
And you would think at some point it would work because everybody's like, look, when he's coming, brace up.
Touchdown.
You better brace up.
He needs to go back to just running through. It didn't work out that well.
Because you think they're going to tighten up and squat down, and then he just goes around them, you know, but it didn't work. So I'm like, that didn't work. Let's start running over him again.
Yeah.
So anyway, Taysom Hill. Matter of fact, the Saints ran a ball to Harris. Do we have more offensive playmakers than we thought we had now that the second half of the season and some guys are progressing, getting healthier, more part of the offense? Do we have more offensive weapons than we thought we had?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think obviously, Jared Cook is a big part of it. But if Taysom Hill keeps playing like this, you know, it's one thing to throw a little – pass out in the flat to him and have him turn around and run through somebody and pick up 5 or 6. But that play last night with him coming across the field and catching that ball like he did, you know, that was a different level of what we've seen from Taysom Hill. That didn't look like a guy who hasn't spent most of his career not catching a ball. You know what I'm saying?
Now,
There
were two plays. If I remember, one was a touchdown. That was a crossing route as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
And then there was another one he went and he got caught inside the 5.
Yeah, it was actually the route that he ran. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a hook route where you go like you're inside and then you twist around. He twisted a professional cornerback all up where the guy had no idea what was going on, but the guy was still close to him, catches it with a little bit of traffic, runs over the guy, and then goes looking for contact at the goal line and is just laughing his head off that you thought you were going to tackle me. And then what Heath is saying, on the crossing route, there's a lot of people that can catch a crossing route running. He was full speed running across the middle and didn't slow down a step. Like, and this year, earlier this year and last year when he was catching, well, he'd kind of almost have to stop to catch the ball and then start running again. He was in a full-on sprint, used completely his hands. This is a guy that if tomorrow he said, you know what, I don't want to be a quarterback anymore, make me a tight end. This is a guy that can sign a $5 to $6 million contract as a tight end in football and be successful. He also, if he said, I want to be a running back, you know, he would get $7 or $8 million probably as a running back if he did that for a year. But he can throw the ball too. Like, it's just, it's insane what he's doing. And he'd make a team making $1.5 million a year as a special teams player if he only wanted to do that. It's what he's done is just insane, and the way the team uses him and how much fun he has is, it's a blessing for us to watch. But it sure has been a lot of fun.
All right, Tomas,
yes, sir.
Let's talk about the NFC playoff picture.
All right, go ahead.
The 49ers play the Rams. Yes. Here are the three scenarios that I think are important. Now, I'm gonna go with the top two. The Packers must lose. And the Packers are playing at the Vikings on Monday night. I believe the Vikings.
Yeah.
I think they're a bad matchup for the Packers. I don't know, man, if I'm saying something crazy. I just don't think the Packers is great. I think the Vikings can take them out. The second scenario is we need Seattle to beat the 49ers in week 17 at Seattle.
Yeah.
If we do, that's a road right there for a bye in the first seed, actually. What do you think the chances are for the Saints? Give me your thoughts on how you think this can all shape out.
All right, number one, the Saints have to win the last two games.
Obviously.
All right. Yeah. Everything else means nothing at all if the Saints lose any more games. They have to win the last two. So given that they win the last two games, then Minnesota has a chance to make a mark. Green Bay hasn't really played great football the entire season, and yet they're right there. You know, they actually have a possibility of being the number one seed through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So now my only concern with the Vikings is that they've lost their running back.
Right.
So Cook had a pretty serious injury. They were talking about how they weren't sure he's going to be back. So that would be my only concern. But I really do think that they match up. They're playing in Minnesota. So I think they have the home field to go with. Skoll and all that kind of stuff. So I give them a very good chance of beating Green Bay. And that's all it's going to take. As long as Minnesota beats Green Bay, they're behind us. We don't have to worry about that. As far as Seattle and San Francisco, let me tell you why I think Seattle will beat San Francisco. The San Francisco-New Orleans Saints game beat the hell out of both teams. Both teams have put a lot of people on injured reserve after that game.
True story.
And the big loss, which would be a big loss for us as well, the big loss for San Francisco is they lost their starting center. The center calls all the line adjustments and everything else. So when he went out, you saw that their offense suddenly not as good. So I think that Seattle has an opportunity. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not overly impressed with Seattle either. So it's going to be kind of a what's up in the air kind of game. The good thing is that I think that if things play out, yes, the Saints could be a number one. At worst, they're going to be a three. They can't be any worse than a three, no matter what happens.
Right, right.
Okay. So, you know, I'm okay with where we are. I would prefer to have that week off to give our guys a little extra time to heal up a little bit more. And I think it's possible that we could be a number two or number one. So, you know, let's say our prayers out there to whoever we pray to and see what happens. But I give us a very good chance of being still the number one seed.
Except
the Garys can't help us. But
the Garys can't. I mean, they could. won't because the Packers play the Garys, the fighting Garys.
I know, but they asked Patricia just today, are you going back to work? He goes, oh, why? You know something I don't know?
Yeah.
Okay, so unlike Sunday, which is a very frustrating day, when you're trying to have some of these good teams lose and you're pulling for bad teams to beat good teams,
yeah,
we're talking about the Vikings at home, playoff team, a team that's built to give Packers trouble. Packers don't play well against physical teams. Simple as that. That's what I feel. Then you have the 49ers going to Seattle, which is a tough game.
Yeah.
That's the two big scenarios that would work best for the Saints. There's another smaller scenario, which could be interesting. Heath, San Francisco is has the Rams coming to visit them, I think Saturday night.
Saturday night.
And there's still a heartbeat. You know, it's faint.
Yeah.
It's fading. But there is a heartbeat for the Rams, a path for them to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're in the same division.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I want to say this too. When Atlanta beat them, I mean, I was so frustrated. Atlanta did not play the greatest game. They made mistakes. They had penalties. No. They had two sacks that I thought were complete horse crap calls that kept drives going for the 49ers.
Yeah.
They did not play their best game. The 49ers, again, come off a big win, you know, a little bit of a letdown emotionally. But here come the Rams. Could the Rams pull off an upset?
I think the Rams could. I mean, I think the Rams are still good enough that on any given day with the right circumstances, they could win the game. They're not horrible by any means. The problem you have now is, though, is that San Francisco just lost this game at home to the Falcons, and they're not going to get caught
right.
sleeping again, you know. Now, on the flip side, though, San Francisco's banged up.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And so –
five starters down on
Sunday? Yeah, they went in five. They went in the last game five, and I don't know. Didn't Sherman get hurt? And
yeah.
the center – like, they kind of walking wounded right now.
Well, yeah. To me, as long as they have Bosa playing, then everybody else will be fine.
I
mean,
I don't,
guy's an animal.
You know, we don't know what they'll look like now. On the flip side, Seattle, I don't know how serious it is or how long he might be out, but Wagner got hurt for Seattle, their all-star linebacker. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Besides for the teams, Minnesota and Seattle being pretty good teams and all, the biggest thing there is they're both at home. Those are two tough places to win.
Right.
Seattle and Minnesota.
Right.
And so that's as much of an advantage, I think, as the teams on the field themselves is
I don't think I could feel any better about a situation needing help where you, like, two really good teams only
and
have to be
at home. Yeah.
And I looked as of Tuesday – the Vikings are 4.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
Over.
Now, like Tomas said, boy, I sure would like. I would like it a lot better if they were going into this with Dalvin Cook, because that guy's just been great this year. But still, I still think they have a chance. You know, they probably wishing they had Murray about right now.
Oh man, Murray'd be nice for him, but unfortunately, you know. Murray's kind of been our workhorse. And right now, when it seems like Kamara's in a little bit of a slump,
yeah.
I think he looked a little bit better. Maybe it was the competition, but there's still something not.
No, but I like the fact that we lined up with Murray.
And ran the ball down.
And ran the ball hard, straight at him, you know. Looked more like we were putting Murray in the place of Ingram, like we thought this was going to go when they signed him.
Absolutely. One way or another, I think it's really important. And this is kind of a silly thing to say, but we really need Kamara to find whatever's missing.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still a little banged up. No. I'm not sure what's missing, but I feel like he played a little bit better, and we need him for this playoff push.
Oh, yeah.
Look, when we come back, we have our picks, and we got a little bit more news we're going to talk about, but you won't want to miss it, so stick around. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. We'll be right back.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Compete. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. The New Orleans Saints beat the Colts Monday Night Football 34-7. It was a complete domination. Matter of fact, the Saints pulled out.
Except for that stupid last seven. But
well,
okay.
I mean, that's going to say. The Saints pulled out most of their starters, as many starters as they could, because you don't have enough players on the roster to completely put in backups.
Right.
And ended up giving up a touchdown on that last play. Matter of fact.
Are we doing the bad still? Did we do the, are we giving up?
Go ahead. Give us a bad.
Well, that's my bad. It's just, and I realize it made no difference in the game yesterday at 34-0. But I don't like this trend of the Saints, and I don't care if they're backups. It's happened with the starters. It doesn't matter whether it's a combination of penalties, real or imagined by the officials. Whatever it is, this team just has this knack at the end of the game of giving up a bunch of slop yards and points.
Yep.
And the problem is that it didn't matter yesterday, but just a week ago, it very much did matter.
Exactly.
And it may matter into the future as we it's getting really real here coming forward.
Several games. I mean, you're just talking about the Minnesota Miracle.
And I don't know what it is. It's obviously it's a mental thing. It's like they've checked out. They figure the game is over. So I don't know what it is, but they need to clean it up, whatever it is.
True story. I don't think, and it's too late now, but I just don't feel like we've given Drew Brees enough credit for breaking the all-time touchdown record. And here we are at the end
of the show.
You can
never give the guy enough credit in reality.
We talk about it every week. Like, I mean, out of 16 games, you're going to give him the good or the player of the week or whatever, and it almost gets tiresome.
Yeah.
But he does it so effortlessly. But one of the things that I thought and I was most disappointed in is he throws what appears to be the record-breaking touchdown to Tre'Quan Smith, who was actually the recipient of the all-time yardage record last year, and gets called back for what looked to be a completely weak offensive pass interference call.
Yeah.
But it literally, not only because they thought they broke it, everybody turned around, started doing their celebration. You know, Drew Brees was dancing this way. He was like this way, blowing kisses.
Yeah.
And then when he actually broke the record, it was a little anticlimactic because it was I want to see Trey. What a story. Tre'Quan Smith can tell his kids.
Yeah.
You know, I caught both. I got cut the next year, but I caught both the all-time yardage and all-time touchdown record. Anyway, thought that was.
But at least it came to a guy who picks it up at the end of the season, you know.
Yeah,
you know, playoff Josh Hill.
Josh Hill.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
He's getting started early.
There you go.
All right, so are you guys ready to do some picks?
Go ahead.
Tomas.
Yeah, what?
We haven't done that. We don't do this enough. Why don't you give us the update of the top 10 or so people?
Now, you know, if he's asking me to do this, Heath, you know what that means.
No, I'm right outside.
He's the same reason why you like to do it.
No, that's true.
I don't know, the top 12.
Top 12.
So.
Okay, yeah, 12. All right, 12. So we got Sheriff Wilmont is number one.
Sheriff Wilmont.
Cajun Billy. Orion, Goblin, Shiver.
It's a lot of new names except for Orion.
Yeah. The OG HB, Joe Groove, Clay's Picks.
Joe Groove's always up there.
Topher Leroy, Touchdown There, Jazz Picks Wins, GW Ballin, Saint Cool 13, Kissin' Alien, Captain Kirkwood, BS and Beer Tomas. I'm at 15. That's the 15.
Man.
Is that what you wanted me to read off?
Hey, who's number 16?
Number 16 is... for Netflix and chill?
Yeah, me and you are tied. It's 15-16, but we got the same record.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's the way it is.
I feel like you just skipped over a certain part of...
Oh, I did.
I don't want to leave nobody out. I'm just saying.
I'm sorry. St. Cool 13. Did I leave you out at 13? I'm sorry. Oh, wait. There's a BS and bologna sausage Dave. Is that the one we're talking about?
Oh, no. I didn't... Am I really?
Yeah, 12 of 75.
I didn't realize that.
Wow.
Imagine that.
What is that? 105.88 to 104.86.
Making that late.
And mind you, Wesley, you and I have a higher percentage than Dave does.
What?
Right.
That's confusing. I don't know.
We're at 55%. You're at 54.
How does that work?
So here's our pick set.
Because your bad week was like really.
Greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now.
I can't believe what I'm seeing.
It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
Hey.
All right. All right. We, you know, this is the time of year where, you know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of great games because half the teams are out of the playoffs. And but there are a couple of good games. We talked a little bit about the Green Bay Packers at the Vikings. That's going to be a huge one. We also have the Cowboys at the Eagles, which, I mean, it's kind of a joke by now. Yeah. But you're talking about 2-7-9 teams who are backing their way. I mean, it's which one can do the moonwalk faster.
Imagine being San Francisco right now and being 11-3 or whatever they are. Well, 11-3 now. And being behind the 7-7 Dallas Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
Talk about adding insult to injury. I mean, I think they need to change the rule. You know, you're division leader. You can't take away the playoffs because then it would make divisions completely irrelevant.
Right.
You got to be seated below if you just – you can't be ahead of somebody because you want a crappy division.
Yeah, I mean, that happened to the Saints before. I mean,
remember the year that the Giants went in and won the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl, yeah.
They had a really crappy record, too.
Yeah, same division.
Wonderful.
Same division.
Seems to happen a lot.
Yeah. It's the media kind of builds that up to be something that's maybe not as exciting as they'd like to believe.
All right.
All right, so let's start here. We have the Cowboys at the Eagles. The Eagles at home are getting 2.5 points.
I'm going to take the Eagles at home to beat them boys.
All right, Wesley.
I'm going to not take the Eagles.
Okay.
I can't say it, but I'm going to not take the Eagles.
I'm taking the Eagles.
You taking the Eagles? All right. I'm going to not take the Eagles either. Okay. All right. So then the next one here, I mean there's good games. Green Bay on Monday night at the Vikings, huge game with Saints implications. The Vikings are 4.5 point favorites at home. That tells you something too.
Yep. I can't do the horn, but I'm taking the Vikings, skull, all that annoying crap that I normally hate. But come Monday night, I'm a Purple People Eater fan.
Do it and then have sex that night.
Yeah, there you go. Get that dirty off. There you go.
And you people have visited the jailhouse way too many times.
Yeah. Wesley.
Yeah, I'll be horny with the rest of you. Go Vikings.
All righty.
Horny, there you go.
I'm taking the Vikings. By the way, in a previous call, you know, the Eagles are getting 2.5 points at home.
Yeah.
So just letting you know.
The
Eagles are getting 2.5 points
at home. Well, y'all are picking against the points now, not against what you want to happen. But
yeah. I'm just mentioning it to you.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, thank you for pointing that out. I thought I pointed that out when I threw the game.
No, you didn't. No? Okay.
All right. Well, I thought you could read my mind.
No.
All right. So now move on to another game with implications for the Saints in the playoffs, and that's the Rams at the 49ers on Saturday night.
Yeah.
The Niners are 6-point favorites.
6-point favorites. As much as I hate to say it, if I'm picking against the points and not my heart, I'm going to pick the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I can't take the Rams.
Can't do it?
I'm taking the Rams and the 6 points.
That's what I want to happen, but
I'm picking the Rams and the 6 points.
All right, well, good.
I think the 49ers going to – you know what?
They shot their wad, brother. I'm going with the Rams.
They shot their shot.
That's it.
They blew their wad.
There you go.
All that stuff. Okay. I'm going to go with the Rams. All right. Now. All right. So the Titans. Looking at the Titans.
The Titans. All right.
I didn't realize until they lost this game past Sunday.
Yeah, they won a roll.
They won a 4-game win streak.
Yeah, they won a roll. Yeah.
Since they've picked up Tannehill from Miami.
Yeah. All pro.
You know, it was like me trying to convince myself that the reason we lost the 49ers game is, boy, when we get Coach Klein back, linebacker Coach Klein, that's the difference maker. Last night I was kind of like, am I really trying to convince myself on Monday Night Football? Am I really trying to convince myself that I do believe it would help because we were very void.
It would help.
Of linebackers. But when you over there like, I'm telling you, our Super Bowl chances lay on the shoulders of
Coach
Klein.
Yep.
You know you're making things up. So anyway, the Saints, what was the line on that, Tomas?
1 point.
One point on the road. The Saints are 1 point favorites? Or underdogs?
Underdogs by 1 point.
Yes.
What?
Giving up
minus one.
Well, that's scurry. That's scurry.
Needless to say, I'm going to take the Saints, and That's not just a hard pick. I don't see how the Titans are favored in this game by any stretch of the imagination.
All right. Wesley?
33-13 Saints.
Okay. Tomas?
40.
Oh, Lord.
13 Saints.
All right. I heard that.
I'll see you at 33 and raise yourself.
It's not supposed to be windy. So, I mean, the Saints going to unleash Murray and Taysom Hill. You know, 1-2 combination running back attack and pound him into submission. All right. Well, that's all you got to say? All right, that's all the show we have for you this week. Thank you guys for listening. We always appreciate you. For Heath Elson-Son, Wesley Coleman, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast on Sports Talk Radio 97.7. I guess we talk to you after the Saints come back and they beat the Titans.
Or you can send us a tweet.
Or send us a tweet.
Yeah.
Saints BS.
Tomas Mauricio 19.
Anybody want to throw it in? We got
nothing BS.
There you go.
All right. We talk to you next week.
Later.
Anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go.